soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, big shout out to Lamont Brands, LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness, fundraising. And, of course, this show is always a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. LamontBrands.com. By the way, we have trucker hats down there as well. Brian, did I get you a T-shirt yet?
Yeah, you got me one a few months ago.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I wouldn't turn down a trucker hat, though.
No, okay. I'll work on that. But we would love for you to go to the website. Not you, Brian. You do enough for everybody, but we would love for you out there listening here tonight or checking this out on the podcast, go to LamontBrands.com and click on the t-shirts. You can get orange for the Dynamo, you can get green for Austin FC or Ireland or Nigeria, you know, colors run for different clubs. So a couple of things here. Darwin Nunez has Uruguay up over Brazil, 1-0. So how about that? Now, there's two countries there who set the early tone for winning World Cups, right? Uruguay and Brazil. They were in the original tournaments. So Darwin Nunez of Liverpool. So that's big. And meanwhile, the U.S. is up 3-0 on Ghana. We saw that Christian Pulisic hit from the penalty spot, and when we were talking in commercial break, Vicente said something that I said, hold that thought because I want you to repeat it because I think it's something I'm very much in agreement with you. And Vicente, by the way, Vicente Garcia goes to U of H, and he's 20 years of age. He's in here tonight kind of shadowing me on the show, but he didn't know he was going to come on the radio tonight. So anyway, what were you going to say about Christian Pulisic?
I was saying that Christian Pulisic is a role model for the generation of American kids who want to make something out of American soccer in the future, because he's so professional that is something so important for soccer players everywhere in the world. So, you know, it's important to see him as a role model and kind of shadow him like I'm doing today with you, but just do it for him because he represents everything that's right with the American soccer player.
What I like about him is you always get the sense with him that it's football first, right? It's not necessarily the social media and the cars and, you know, those kind of things. That's the type of player that's going to have a long career. Those are the types of guys that then become legends. And, you know, he's kind of inherited the mantelpiece of Landon Donovan in the past. And it's a great group of young guys. I mean, it's got to be put together by Greg Berhalter. I still think there's questions around that. You now have a striker and Fowler and Balogun. You know, Tyler Adams still remains out injured. But there's just a lot of talents here, unprecedented in this time with the U.S. national team, that are playing for clubs from around the world that are, you know, big clubs, pressure-filled environments. Never had these sort of opportunities with guys at big clubs and playing regularly and getting minutes. And I think this move for Pulisic to Milan has been a really, really good one for him. And I'm glad he had some real struggles, which, by the way, is part of his development, the struggles when he was at Chelsea. So, you know, I think you really have to look into the disappointment as part of player, for sure, it's part of human development, but disappointment, failure, how you react, how you respond. I worry about that in the youth soccer community because everybody's shielded all the time. And it's real easy for, you know, a parent and a kid to avoid working with the coach and hop, skip, and jump to the next team, right? It's not hard. Happens all the time. That's why I also don't necessarily like the portal in college. Because, again, just allows everybody to avoid trying to provide solutions and come up with relationship building between player and coach. But, listen, there are circumstances that supersede it, but it you just can't run and change every time something occurs. And I can tell you that disappointment was a huge part of my development, that's for sure. A lot of no's. Get yeses too, but you get a lot of no's. I think it's a blend. And youth coaches should always be looking for the blend out there. And if you're winning every single game, that's an unhealthy situation. You got to figure out ways to get them into differing leagues. I used the men's league back in my day as a place to teach inherent lessons in a container that would come organically simply from putting kids on the field with men. All right, 713-780-3776, Portland Timbers. Let's get focused here. We're dialing down on it. We got Ben Olson coming up in this next hour. Ben and I are going to go over a number of topics about playoff time and how you grab momentum. Now, look, they've had 12, 13 days off, as have other teams. And you can come back in a lot of different ways. Dynamo got back to training this week on Monday, and they definitely needed the rest. One thing we know, Artur needed the rest too. But I feel good about this team, not only on Saturday, but going into the playoffs based on, you know, the Dynamo having more experienced players now. These are not situations going into Portland that are going to awe Hector Herrera or Artur or Eric Svechenko. So the last lineup, we've seen Portland dip in and out of a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-3-3. Mora, Felipe Mora, 5 goals, 2 assists in 9 matches. Got to keep an eye on him. We'll see if Christian Paredes will play. They've got some injury issues as well. Diego Chara had an emergency appendectomy as well. 365 career appearances. Zach McGraw, will he return, the center back? We'll find out. All right, this is Super Suckers with the very famous Texas guitarist. Do you know him, Brian?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, I'm not going to mention the name. You're going to have to look it up. But he's playing with the Super Suckers here. All right, we're going to take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Brian McDonald, as always, behind the glass, doing a wonderful job here. Guillermo Lazo Romero, and also from U of H, only 20 years of age, Vicente Garcia has been in studio here tonight. We'll take a break. More to come.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. You're getting a nice bluish hue.
Hello, Houston. Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture at 2775 Fondren near Westheimer. Since 1982, we've been the leading modern contemporary furniture store in town. And now it's time for the biggest sale of the year, a 10-day blowout of floor samples, discontinued items, and much more. So come on into Danish Inspirations and sit in a stressless chair, see an Elf of Italy dining table, or many, many more great vendors from all over the world. Danish Inspirations, 10-day blowout, starting this weekend. And in the world of soccer, we have the European Championship games going on. Denmark beat Kazakhstan and is now almost there as the winner of the group, meaning that we still have to beat San Marino today, and we still have to beat Slovakia in Copenhagen in a few months, or next month, actually. So Denmark is there, and unless they really screw up, but I don't think that will happen. I think Denmark is going to be in there. So we can all look forward to a great European championship next year. And in Holland, France, they beat Holland 2-1 for two great goals of Mbappe. And France is now secure as well. Holland still have a little ways to go, but they still do it, should do it after they beat Greece in Greece 1-0 on a penalty kick from Van Dijk in the 93rd minute. So after they missed one in the first half, and then Van Dijk secured the victory. So they should be there as well. So Ukraine and Italy still fighting it out. So still a lot of good games to go. So with that said, come on into Danish Inspirations. We are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite. DanishInspirations.com, the biggest sale of the year happening now.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, Houston Dynamo back in action. They are in the playoffs. They will play their final game on Decision Day this Saturday in Portland, Oregon. Soccer Matters, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're pleased to be joined by Ben Olson. I've assured him we're not going to do a 30-40-minute interview here because his time is valuable. Ben, thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome, and you say that every time, and then we...
You notice how I sneak a few more minutes in every time.
It's good. I enjoy speaking to you as well. So if that's that's the reason we go so long.
It's great fun. All right. Well, let's start it with this. Are you as a coach and the players getting a little bit more sense of consequence and finality now as, you know, we go into Decision Day and then it's playoffs and margin for error probably is not big?
I think we're getting there. The bye week is always a funky time. They come at, you know, strange times, in particular the you know, 2 weeks before Decision Day, and then there's another one that splits up the playoffs. So they're always interesting to navigate, but we've done them enough this year. We think we have a good recipe on how to go about them. We've been in 2 days this week. We'll step away tomorrow. We'll come in Thursday, Friday, and then Friday we'll leave to Portland and take on them in a very tough place, and they're playing a very desperate team. So once Thursday hits, I think you'll see a different look in these guys' eyes, and they'll be ready to really, really dial in on a good Portland team. And again, as I said, a very hungry one. They need to win. We need to win. Everybody needs to win for the most part at this point, in particular in the West. And that's an exciting thing. It should lend itself to a lot of goals and some exciting games down the stretch here.
Ben, you've navigated these playoffs many, many years. I mean, that's one of the aces up the sleeve of the Houston Dynamo, is you've been through it, seen it all. You've gotten into the playoffs numerous times. You know how to handle players this time of the year. Do you get the sense that you got the rest for some of the guys you needed to and some guys who got niggling injuries to get back?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's a balance of rest and staying sharp and communicating and educating and getting better during these bye weeks. And we're late in the year. We are kind of who we are, and we understand who we are. And that's a good thing. But also, you know, we got to turn the screw and understand that the last 2 months of the season, we've been good, but at times we've coasted a little bit, and the playoffs, it's just a different animal. The good news is that we're going to play a Portland team in Portland that this is going to feel exactly like a playoff game because it's do or die for them, and they have to win, you know, to make sure they stay in this thing and to be in the postseason. We're in the postseason, but we need to play at a certain level to make sure we get home field advantage and get the points because that's an important part of, I think, having success in the playoffs. It's not you can do it without it, but it certainly can help. And so this is going to be a nice dress rehearsal for the playoffs because of the intensity the crowd, the atmosphere here at, or there at Portland is second to none for my money in this league. So it's just going to be a really nice test for us to see where we're at.
Ben Olson, coach of the Houston Dynamo, HoustonDynamo.com. They're in the playoffs, can end up anywhere from 2-6 with a huge one in Portland this weekend. We'll have the call right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you're listening to Soccer Matters presented by the Daspit Law Firm. You know, I'm watching the Astros. I'm watching Major League Baseball, and I'm seeing how teams have entered it. Not that I'm a, you know, an expert on baseball or anything, but, you know, momentum is such a key. Can coaches generate momentum? You know, everybody says Ben is one of the greatest motivators. Can you motivate and generate momentum to players, or do you, is it that you give them the tools to generate their own momentum?
I think it's both. Messaging is important, and the cadence and the rhythm of your messaging, and when and how you deliver it. Of course, it's all part of leadership. And but if you don't have innate competitors, if you don't have players that are just want this, right, and want to push and go further, and are if you don't have players that are willing to sacrifice and do more and suffer to get those type of results, you're cooked. If you're relying on a coach to do all that, it's not gonna happen. And fortunately, I think we have ultra competitive guys. You know, every team has ultra competitive guys. This is what they all do. They've been competing all their lives, and this is their livelihood. But we do have guys that have been around and been there and understand the pace and the intensity of playoffs. And they also are, you know, have some, you know, fire still in their belly. And again, you don't know, we don't know. This is our first round with this group. This is my first round with this group. This is their first round as a team. And, so far up into this point, when the challenge is big, we've been able to kind of, you know, dive into that competitive nature and play at a really high level when the stakes are bigger. And hopefully that continues with this group. So I don't know if that answered your question, but again, yes, of course, you know, we're all pushing all the buttons we can. But the season is also a long one. And if you're pushing buttons every day, I've seen you wear guys out and players out, and they're just by the time playoffs come, they just don't have the fire. And so it's a little bit of an art, but in the end, the best thing to do is have super competitive players that are hungry and want more and want to understand that raising the trophy is worth suffering for.
Ben, early in your career, when you were coaching at DC and you were there for quite some time, obviously Ben, historically one of the legendary players at DC, but also as a coach, you know, was that a balance you had to kind of figure out? You know, because you were an aggressive player from the day you stepped on the field and I saw you at UVA. Did you kind of have to learn when to kind of push the screws a little bit and when to pull back?
I certainly had no idea how to do that, you know, my first couple of years. And you only gain that through experience of now going into the postseason a few times and understand, okay, looking back, what do we do? But then you have every year is a different animal, and you have different rhythms to get there, different journeys. And sometimes you have the momentum. It's about keeping it going and pushing them, making sure they're not comfortable. It's sometimes they're fading down the playoffs, and it's about maybe stepping away and bringing back the love of the game. So this is a little bit of a feel and a smell, and it depends on your team. It depends on the journey getting to the playoffs. So I don't have a clear answer of this is what I believe in and how to go about the last few weeks leading into the playoffs. The players understand it's the utmost importance for this club right now to not be okay with just the playoffs and now not be okay. Oh, we got a trophy in the bag. Like, okay, but that's all done. And we have this opportunity that we don't want to waste because it's a good group and because there is a little momentum and we're playing at a high level and we have a pretty good understanding of who we are Like, you don't want to waste these, and because it doesn't always happen. And you've seen this enough, and I've seen this enough where some years you get a couple injuries and things spiral the other way. It just doesn't happen every year. And that's our goal. You know, we want to next year have similar performances and be in the same spot and keep putting ourselves in positions to win trophies. But it doesn't always happen. So understanding that and capitalizing on what we have here. It's a good group on and off the field that likes each other, likes to fight for each other, and on any given day can beat any team in this league.
Ben, go back into your headspace when you were a player and you won the MLS Cup. What were some of the things that fell together from your perspective when you were a player when you won the MLS Cup with DC?
Well, the first one, I was just stepping into a well-oiled machine, and I just needed to be a kind of a cog in there. And, you know, even in the game, we played LA in the finals, and Roy Lassiter gives Robin Fraser, one of the best center backs this league has ever seen, a bump early. He pops his shoulder out and he goes out of the game. So, you know, there's also that stuff that goes into winning a championship. And we played on a shitty field, excuse my language, in Foxborough, right? And it was a dirt field from football. The Patriots beat it up pretty good. And, you know, Kevin Hartman loved the ball and it went right to me and I kicked it in an open net. So there's this, you know, there's a lot to it to go that the whole way. You need a little luck. You need the right bounces. And then the one we won in 2004, that was a whole different group too. I had more at stake with that team. I had a bigger pulse, or I had a bigger imprint on that team. I was more of a leader. And in some ways that one was more fulfilling because I felt like I had my hands more on that team and I was a more influential player in that one against Kansas City in 2004. But again, that was a Peter Novak team, a different type of a journey. So I don't know. I don't know exactly how to answer that question.
Ben Olson joining us. Last question before we let you go. Let's just switch gears to the Portland Timbers. Some of their personnel, obviously, some of these guys today in action in South America in World Cup qualifying. But, you know, players like Evander, Felipe Mora, who's coming back into shape here as a goal scorer, maybe just some thoughts on the Portland Timbers and some of their danger men and the type of style they play.
Cajunan, you mentioned a few of them, Espria and Moreno and Paredes, Evander, Mora, you know, a real opportunistic guy in the box now who's the goal seems very big for him. Espria's physicality and he's super dynamic in transition. You know, Evander can be the best player on the field at any moment. Moreno's crafty, can hit you vertically and kind of a transformed winger playing in the interior. Charles back, you know, experienced back line. It's a good team. It's a good team. It's a physical team, and they're really good at home. So their waveform hasn't been great. So it's important for us to go there and weather a little bit of their energy that they're going to come with, but also make sure we're not doing that too much. And we bring our own energy. We bring our own punch to that game because we also have to win the game. So it's a good team. Transition moments are going to be critical. They just do such a good job and you know, hitting you on the break. So, you know, how we balance ourselves and look after each other when the ball turns over is going to be critical in this game. And you have to be efficient. You don't get as many chances on the road. You don't get as many chances in the playoffs. So if you get them, you got to stick them.
Ben, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck in Portland. We appreciate it immensely.
See you, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. That's Ben Olson, Houston Dynamo head coach, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're going to wrap it up tonight in big style here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. You call them at 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll handle your case. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Might get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, possibly maritime. You might work construction. You might even drive an 18-wheeler. If you get in an accident, it's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You need the best. All right, Ross Smith, Apple TV commentator. You've known him for many, many years as a commentator for the Portland Timbers, also a former professional soccer player. Ross joins us now. Ross, how are you?
Glenn, it's great to see you. It's been too long.
Hobnobbing with the celebrities. You're down in Miami. Just tell us what you're doing down there. You got the final game for Inter Miami and Charlotte FC.
I went for a walk. I'm the only redhead on the beach here in Fort Lauderdale, I think, Glenn. I'm down here for the Miami-Charlotte game tomorrow night, the penultimate match for both clubs before what could be the end of the season for both clubs as well. It certainly is for Inter Miami after what has been a tremendous run. But for Charlotte, they're still in it. They're very much in the thick of things. They have a game on hand in hands against the teams around them to try and make it above the playoff line. So it's an interesting one. There's no Lionel Messi. That's the one edge of disappointment. But Tata Martino has revealed there's a couple of players that will be available. Jordi Alba is one to mention. He's missed the last five games. So I know fans will enjoy hearing the fact that Alba is considered for selection.
All right. Since Leo's not there, you can always ask for a refund. You know that.
yeah, you can.
Whatever happened to buyer beware, right? I mean, these fans, because he's not coming to the market, we want a refund.
Chicago did well with that, didn't they? What they offered as well to continue to intrigue fans and what have you. But yeah, it's funny.
Tricky. All right. Let's get into what's most on the mind of Houston Dynamo fans, and that is the Dynamo at Portland. There's a lot at stake in this one. This will be decision day on Saturday for the Timbers. It's win, get in the playoffs, avoid that play-in game for the Dynamo. I mean, look, could end up between second and sixth in the standings here. With your history in Portland, where do you see the Timbers positioned right now?
It's a tough one because Montreal, their result against Montreal, the loss last week, knocked them back. And so I think there's going to be a little bit of a recovery from that. But going into that Montreal game, Glenn, I thought the Portland Timbers brand had returned. And I know you have followed them so closely for years. And that brand of being exciting in transition, almost having a little bit of swagger, personality to themselves, and difficult to beat. It all started to come back since the managerial change of Giovanni Savarese, who I worked under for a number of years and was a terrific servant to the club, obviously, but human being and person. So it was tough to see him exit. He exited after the Houston Dynamo loss in Houston, which, you know, I've said this. There's some players on the pitch that day for the Timbers, I think, should never pull on a kit ever again for the Portland Timbers. No matter what manager is in the technical area, it's a non-negotiable. I know you stand by this in terms of work rate, Glenn. I just couldn't believe the lack of effort from some of the Timbers players.
You know, we just to let you know, on the broadcast with Bobby Boswell and I,
there's another great player.
It was hard not to call it unprofessional, which I ultimately did, but
yeah,
I couldn't believe to a degree what I was seeing. And, you know, our booth is a lot lower than the TV booth. So, you know, you're looking at guys that are literally probably, you know, 40 yards away from you. And it was stunning.
Incredible, isn't it? I almost feel there's times where I imagine owners, people who are writing the paycheck should say, you're not getting paid today. You know, you didn't turn up for work. And that's what it felt like. And it's been very rare in my time in Portland where I've felt that way. So, you know, to that, there's been a change, though. There's been a change in manager and the attitude. And to a large extent, the swagger has returned. Felipe Moura has returned from a long time out, which is tough. Gio didn't get a chance to run him out. So, you know, that's difficult on the manager, not having your best players available. But Moura's made a terrific difference. I mean, since he's come into the team, he's just that different type of striker, always sniffing out chances. So he's one to watch, of course, for Houston Dynamo fans.
Yeah, and Felipe Moura,
at the time of this discussion between you and me is probably playing for, well, he's on the bench for Chile and South America. He was called up for World Cup qualifiers. But the fact that this guy is coming back from two knee surgeries at 30, that's part of the story, too, isn't it? He's got 5 goals and 2 assists since he's kind of come back.
I think what saves him, Glenn, he's never looked at his pace to be able to be the difference in what sets him apart. It's just his knack for knowing where the ball is going to drop, his movement off the ball. And I think that has brought other players to life, like Santiago Moreno has shown a lot of promise, but has had a big dip over the last year and a half. Well, he's starting to show a lot why the Timbers brought him back in. So that makes a difference. I think Brian Acosta, I think the fact that he's come in with Diego Chara when was out after appendicitis with a surgery, Acosta has done a terrific job as well. So holding things down, usually when there's no Chara, there's no 3 points, but the Timbers have found a way.
Talking to Ross Smith, Apple TV, longtime commentator for the Portland Timbers, and also he's been on this show many, many times. Don't come back to me asking for back pay or anything, Ross, okay? Because you have been on here a lot, and we've always appreciated your insight on everything. The difference between the road and home and this final game, I guess, is the next question. You know, what do you think that's about? I mean, that's obviously something that plagues a lot of MLS teams. Just want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, the difficulty going away for teams. It's tough when you have to go and get a result. I mean, of course, it's been widely chatted about it in terms of with the travel, but the travel that I think has been made a lot easier for players since COVID, the fact that they're all traveling charter now. So the heaviness in the legs isn't quite what it was. In terms of different climates that you're going into now, the hot parts of America, they're not so much. And so it's a bit of a leveler, I would say, more than perhaps it's ever been. Then it comes down to environment. And I think the environment, you know, for me, traveling around, Glenn, I've had the chance now from being with Portland for my entire broadcasting time now to traveling just about every weekend and seeing different parts of the country. It's neat to see different environments and to see how some teams, they thrive in it, and other teams and opponents, I should say, thrive into going in to the cauldron and trying to survive. And other teams, you can see it's too big an occasion. One of those that stand out for me, new team, I don't know if you've been there yet, St. Louis City, their City Park is phenomenal. It's up there, but I still put Portland Timbers Providence Park as one of the top environments and most intimidating environments to go into.
So speak to me on the intimidating environments. Is that all about, you know, obviously artificial surface, the field is tight. I think it's one of the coolest environments. Plus Elvis Presley played there once, so that makes it even better. But, you know, is it because of the Timbers Army? Is it because strictly the acoustics and them getting into you? I mean, what beyond that is it?
Yeah, it's, you know, from when you played, if you start to have a tough time in a game and then the crowd's on top of you as well, the crowd's energizing the players opposite you, that's only unless you have that strong character. You know, I've been here before. I've done it. I can find my way through it. I think of like your center back Sviatchenko, how he is like just that strong personality. You know, he can see his way through it. Whereas, you know, some youngsters, their shoulders might curl in and then it just all of a sudden starts to layer on top of it, the problems. And then you start to magnify the problems and then you want to go missing. So, you know, I've definitely seen that this year with some younger players who just aren't fit for the occasion.
But, you know, as you say that, I'm thinking about the Dynamo. This is a team laden with experience from Hector Herrera to Artur to Eric Sviatchenko, who's been a remarkable signing.
Yeah.
So there is a blend of experience to do the guiding there. I think Franco Escobar certainly can handle these types of occasions. So I think from the standpoint of that, it's a different Dynamo. It is a different Portland. How much of the change is simply about the organics of a coach being removed and sort of having to reprove yourself? And how much of it do you think is the interim manager, Miles Joseph?
I was there for one of the first games that Miles Joseph took over, and I love to get up onto the training ground because I feel Like you get a really good feel for the player to manager relationship. I've seen Ben Olsen with his players as well when they took on St. Louis and they took they took a tough loss, I should say, as I'm going back through my mind, a tough loss to St. Louis, but they put up a good fight. Anyways, to that and time with the manager, what I saw from Miles Joseph was the clarity of roles. And that was within two or three games since Gio and the Timbers had parted ways. And Miles is more or less, and I'm amazed by this sometimes, Glenn, because you would just take it for granted that the players know what they're doing. Players know what's expected of them. But I would say there's quite a large percentage across the league where, and maybe teams towards the bottom half, there's not that clarity in role, or players don't agree with what the manager wants from them and then won't carry it out onto the pitch. I think what Miles has done, he's simplified things. He's gone to each player and said, hey, I need this from you. I need this from you. And you've seen that difference. And part of that at the time was getting the wide players wide. And that sounds so simple, but it's with that thought of opening up the game a little bit more for a Vander in the center of the park, who for me has dipped in and out of form. I still don't think he's hit the heights to what he should. But I'm starting to see a smile return to his face. And I did a big piece about him when he came to the league, the biggest transfer in Timbers history, reported around $10 million or so. But I just thought this guy oozes personality. It's exactly what the Timbers need. And he's barely smiled since he came in. But since Miles has taken over, start to see that swagger come back. But part of it is opening up the game for him. And I'm giving you one just simple little tactic that I know Miles Joseph put into to play, and getting Santi Moreno isolated a little bit more, Dairon Asprilla. But it's all with the thought of how can we get the best out of our top player.
But isn't that what it's all about in MLS? I mean, your designated players are supposed to be the guys that are going to win you games. They're your best players in a lot of cases. Yeah. Certainly the case with Hector Herrera here. I mean, there's no secret. He runs the show. And by the way, Evander was one of the guys who did not run that day in the 5-0 loss, because he was right in front of me. And I couldn't believe it, because a friend of mine who's a great sponsor of this show, Jan Christensen, has a company called Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. And when Evander was coming over, he was just through the moon going, this guy's outstanding. And we know he's outstanding and he's talented. But that's going to be an interesting one for the Dynamo, because the Dynamo are a narrow team. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, they've recently added some width to their game. And it's going to be interesting if Hector Herrera and Artur and that Dynamo box midfield and the center backs can take the edge off Evander. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's interesting to note that Miles Joseph comes in and just says, hey, look, we got to get the best out of this guy. What can we do around him?
Mm-hmm. Would that be similar to Ben Olsen? I remember before the St. Louis game, I ran into Ben Olsen in the Starbucks across the street from the hotel.
You were stalking him. Stop stalking him, Ben, will you?
I said, Ben, I'm promising I'm not trying to get any more out of you. We already have our Zoom calls.
That's reverse. No women stalking you. You're stalking Ben Olsen.
We have a mutual friend out of Nashville, where I'm based as well. And so we traded a few stories. Steve Guppy, who's assistant at Nashville, was a teammate with Ben Olsen as well. Yeah. So you know how it is, Glenn, that when you can link up with somebody through other friends and what have you. Anyways, what I got from it is what Ben Olsen was getting out of Hector Herrera as well, and managing that personality. And you think what Ben Olsen did with DC United and managing, with Wayne Rooney, with
or maybe let me give you the other side of it, or maybe not managing. And I don't mean that in
awesome. Yeah.
By giving a superstar room, that is managing him, right? I mean, I have to think Hector Herrera has a lot of influence on the way the team plays. I mean, I've heard Asher Mendelsohn, Pat Onstad, they've all said that. And why wouldn't you go into that think tank from a guy from Atletico Madrid, right?
Yeah.
I think there's an art to it. I think Ben Olsen and Hector Herrera have a tremendous relationship. And that's all credit to Ben Olsen, really, because you and I have seen coaches come in and want to read the riot act to guys that have played in places that they've never even seen or been near, and it backfires.
Yeah, that's. I look at Brian Smetzer and what he's done in Seattle. I sat in on their training session the other day, and he was that old school type manager where, you know, their presence is felt, but they don't say a word throughout the entire training session. He just does laps around the training ground, But in terms of him managing the big personalities, and Gonzalo Pineda, who's with Atlanta United, he said, I started to learn how to manage the difference between, Almada and one of my senior players. And while Almada is a top player, he hasn't earned the right to get away with, you know what, boss, I don't want to train today. I want to, you know, take a day in the weight room or in the sauna or something like that. You know, Gonzalo Pineda is like, you haven't earned that yet. That's for my senior players. And anyways, all that, the managing it. It's, I think the successful managers are the ones who understand there's different rules for different players.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is great conversation here. We're talking to Ross Smith. He's on the call of Inter Miami and Charlotte tomorrow night. But he has long time been a Portland Timbers announcer, former professional soccer player as well. And we've had him on this show many, many times. Dairon Asprilla, speak about him, because if he decides to play on any given night, he is a handful.
Oh, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Glenn, but he's earned the nickname Mr. October. And for good reason. Some of the goals that he has scored in his time has been spectacular. And, you know, almost not to discredit him, but he doesn't really put up the numbers during the regular season. And it only comes about in playoffs, where the money-making end of the season, I think, you know, ownership and everybody would be okay with that. And he's consistently turned up during this time of year. I mean, he has become through and through a Portland Timber. When you look back like 3-4 years ago, it was a bit of a difficult period, and he was sent away alone. And I thought Dairon Asprilla and his attitude and what have you, it wasn't mixing with whether Caleb Porter or whether with Gio. And I thought that was the end of Dairon Asprilla. And, you know, what he's done over the last 3 years or so, he is a club man through and through, which is terrific to see. In this day and age, when players are coming in and out of clubs, he is through and through Portland Timbers. What you see on the pitch, athletically, he can change a game at any moment. What he's capable of, the acrobats in and around the box, he can hit from 30, 35 yards out. I mean, when you talk about personality, when he's on, he can really change a game. You know, I look at Quiñones for Houston Dynamo, and at times, you know, I almost wish Asprilla was a little bit more like that. Just get your head down and run at guys. But for me, Asprilla is more now in the box, and the ball bounces to him and he'll come up with something.
You know, it's interesting. I remember talking about him with you many years ago, Eddie Robinson and I, on some of the broadcasts between the Dynamo and the Timbers. I remember, you know, a lot of banter and talk around, you know, wow, this guy's got tools, you know, he's got a toolkit. I mean, but will he ever mature? And you know, that's the amazing story about him. I think for 6 years, he hardly scored any goals.
Yeah.
The fact that he was even still there to then produce 2 seasons of 10 goals and now be a guy that's talked about and looked about in a different light, is that simply maturity? And then, you know, he was there forever. And he was not producing anything. So somebody obviously thought, we're giving this guy as much time as possible.
I think it was into his like second season or third season, Glenn, and he had a great game, and we hadn't seen it for a while. And he did a post game with us, and he refers to himself in third person. He said, Dairon just needed to have a chance. And I thought, goodness me, Dairon, you've had 3 seasons of chances. You've been given chances. But, you know, to that, I think the maturity, he's really close with Diego Chara. I think Chara has done a phenomenal job at putting his arm around him and guiding him during tough times when I think Dairon Asprilla was going to be out the club. And I have never sat with Dairon, but I know he lost his father a couple of years ago. And I know this from him celebrating, where he would take off his shirt, get a booking, but it was a picture of his dad on his shirt. And I think that coincided with us seeing a different Dairon, a softer temperament of a Dairon, but channeling his energy in the right ways.
Yeah, those are the types of things that maybe change your outlook on life. Mm-hmm. By the way, Zlatan's the only guy who can speak in third person, right?
He's got to
dial that one back a little bit, I think.
Oh, we had a good chuckle at it. I think he was on the interview with us, and of course, right? He's such a lovely human being, but we had a good chuckle at that.
Ross, if I catch you speaking in third person, you're going to be in real trouble. You're going to get slashed on ESPN 97.5. All right. Zach McGraw, interesting story, right? Went to, I believe, Army, right?
He did.
First player ever drafted out of Army, military. he's turned into a pretty outstanding center back. Now, I know he's had a few injury problems as of late, but maybe you could speak to him.
A no-nonsense, old-school type defender who, again, when you look at a club man, a guy who puts the team first, I mean, that's certainly him. And he's just built of steel, and he's built of steel through his actual build. But what is behind him? And when you talk about that, his time at Army, I sat with him a couple years ago, and I forget what the name of the challenge was. It's almost essentially your initiation when you go in. And the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they are literally trying to just bring you down, trying to break you to bits before they build you back up. And it's a certain sort of initiation that they refer to. And I chatted to him about that. And he said, you know, how awful it was that so many guys pull out. They're done. And he kept thinking, you know, do I pull out? I've had enough. This isn't right. But when you come through the other side. So I think when you asked me about like the stadiums and going into it, you've been a player, you know all about that, Glenn. I think when you've gone through the hard knocks and you build that tough outer coating like Zach has, I think he's unfazed. He's unfazed if during the times when he was dropped, if he was playing well, he's unfazed coming up against a top attacker, striker. And so he's built to succeed. I think for all that he is good, everything in front of him, I think, you know, anything in the air, he'll go and deal with tough tackles. He loves that matchup. But I think just with him, where he needs to mature a bit is his movement and his understanding of where the danger is at times. If he plays up against like Aliyu, I think his movement sometimes could cause Zach McGraw problems. That Zach McGraw almost starts to drift and he gets sucked into areas he doesn't need to go. He needs to pass players off. But he's still somewhat young, and I think there's still a lot of growth there. Liam Ridgewell's assistant for the Timbers now under Miles Joseph.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's moved up, I guess I would say, a notch. He was assistant under Gio, but he's the first assistant under Miles. And I think the growth of Zach McGraw, I don't think it's any surprise the fact that it's correlating with the fact that there's been a shift in Ridgie's position and Ridgie's voice on the training ground.
I mean, is he a guy that can be moved by the dynamo? I mean, as a center back, can they tease him out of the middle? Can they get him out of the indigenous zone there, which backs need to be in when the ball ultimately gets there?
It'd be interesting. I mean, I look at the movement between what you have with Bassi, what you have with, if it's Corey Baird. Karaskia, I think, I mean, you know best, Glenn, but on his day, Karaskia, I mean, he's one that I would pay money to go and watch. I just think what he can do at times, but does he always deliver in that final third? I think that's what frustrates me.
That's the question with him, is end product. Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people around the country forget he's playing out of position. You know, with Panama, he sits deeper and he looks like a world beater, and he's got a number of Spanish teams around him. So there's been a little bit more chatter around that, potentially him moving in the off season. But yeah. Anyway, 30 seconds, because we're on a little bit of a timeline here, Ross, but you know, just through your lens this year and over the years, Major League Soccer, just, you know, maybe how it's changed and what you see at this point in time.
I see it's where more teams are the quality has definitely come up from the bottom level up. The top level, I don't think you're seeing that separation as much now with world beaters like LAFC when Carlos Vela was in his prime and, you know, they were almost untouchable. I don't think you really have those untouchable teams anymore, but certainly the level from the bottom has come up. And when I look at it going into playoffs, I do think the East is stronger right now, but I do pick Houston Dynamo, and I shouldn't say as my under the radar sneaky pick, because they've shown it throughout the season how good they are. But you know, everybody wants to look to the LAFCs to do well. The Portland, if they make the playoffs, you know, I guess when you look over the last few years, the bigger clubs who have had success, I think Houston could surprise a lot of teams. So, but it's tough to pick. I think out of all years, it's the most difficult one. I've got the most amount of teams who I'm picking to win it.
Dangerous animal, the Houston Dynamo. I agree with you 100%. They got a lot of things in place. That's Ross Smith. Ross, have a great call on the Inter-Miami-Charlotte game. It's always great to catch up with a great friend. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Likewise. Thank you, Glenn. Great to see you.
Ross ends it in great style for us tonight here. That's some great conversation on the Portland Timbers from him. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law from DaspitLaw.com. 713 call now. Subscribe to the podcast, Soccer Matters, Spotify, Apple, and Google. And don't forget, this Saturday night, we have the call of the Dynamo at the Portland Timbers. That'll do it for us tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Good night.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston.